This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك تعالى يرحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. So as I mentioned, you know, about the Quran, same thing is true also about the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because as people need guidance, they also need an example of the people who follow the guidance. Because you know. Or you can say really, the Quran is like a direction, which direction you go. But that's not enough. People also need a road to walk on. So Sunnah is like your road. So if people say you have to go, you know, east or west, but you need a road, you need proper road, proper path on which you can walk. So this is the Sunnah. Sunnah the path. But if people don't know direction, they know the road, they can go in wrong direction. The first thing is, learn your direction properly from the Quran. Then after that, see in this direction how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he walked. Follow his footstep. That was Sunnah. The Sunnah is Sunnah in Arabic language means, you know, something on which someone walks again and again. If somebody walks only once, it's not Sunnah. A path, if somebody walked only once, you can't say he's a Sunnah. Sunnah is when somebody walks on something again and again. The Sunnah is the path walked upon again and again. That is Sunnah of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So many, many things people say in the community, there is Sunnah. If you ask them, did the Prophet do? No. If the Prophet even did not do once, how can it be Sunnah? It needs to be done again and again. When it does again and again, that's what Sunnah means. Sunnah, there is misunderstanding in the world actually about Sunnah. Reason is because since the books of the Hadith have been written, so people think whatever in the books of the Hadith or Sunnah. They don't understand really why Bukhari includes so many details. They think everything Bukhari includes in the book, it must be Sunnah. Everything that Muslim has got, it must be Sunnah. This is not true really. They know what they're doing. But when we read them, we don't understand what they're doing. So we misinterpret them. So first thing, take out from your mind that Bukhari and Muslim, you know, they include only Sunnah. No, they include Sunnah and things which are other than the Sunnah. Sunnah is one part of that. If you really want to know the book of the Sunnah properly, maybe more likely, you can say like Muwatta. Even Muwatta has got something which is not Sunnah, but generally Muwatta is more like, you can say, book of Sunnah. But Bukhari Muslim, they have got many things. I'll explain to you what Bukhari Muslim are. But Sunnah is something different. Sunnah simply means really whatever has been taught in the Quran. In practice, how to act upon that Sunnah. So something not in the Quran and the Prophet did, it can't be Sunnah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does many things. He does things as a messenger, meaning to act upon the Quran. That what Sunnah is. So whatever the Prophet does as a messenger, meaning it to teach you how to act upon the Quran, that is Sunnah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before being messenger, he is also a human being. So like any human being, he does many things that every human being does. He also does. You know, that you don't need to follow him. He's also an Arab. So he can't be different from his culture. You know, he wears the same clothes as Arab people wear. You know, he eats same food as they eat. He has same medical treatment as they have got. Now you come and you think it all Sunnah. It's not right. You know, what is Sunnah is that when you fall ill, you should consult a doctor and get medical treatment. That's Sunnah. But to have same medical treatment as the Prophet, that's not Sunnah. That is his culture. He did because he can't do anything else. He can't find medicine from our time. He has to follow his time. Sunnah is that you have to cover your body and you have to protect yourself against the heat and the cold. That is Sunnah. But to have certain types of dress as the Prophet did, that's not Sunnah. That's Arab culture. So try to understand. Same food, the Prophet loved Thareed. Thareed was a good food for Arab people. They loved it because, you know, from the very beginning, they know so much praise for Thareed and they enjoy that. You know, Thareed, they used to make from meat and bread together, Thareed. What is good actually, what Sunnah is, that sometime you should eat the food, the good food of your people. So they know you're part of they don't think you are alien. You know, because if somebody never eats any good food, always in rough food, the people think really to be pious means to be like that. So no, piety means that you be like people. So Sunnah is that in some time you should eat the best people of your, like you have come in this country. Sometimes you go and experience, you know, what Turkish food is and something like that. That's Sunnah. Sunnah is not that you must have sarid. That's not sunnah. Sarid is, you know, an example of that best food, the Arab example. But for Indian people, it will be something else. For Turkish people, the sunnah will be something else. That's what people keep misunderstanding things. So, for example, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's a good man. He cares for the people. But the way he cares, his own way. But the way you care, it will be different, but caring is sunnah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells stories to his wives. So, telling stories, you know, some entertainment, something, you know, people become happy, that's a sunnah. But you think, no, I must tell the same story of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that in Bukhari mentioned, Hadith Ummu Zar'a. In Bukhari, Muslim, in a good channel version. If you tell that story to your wife, maybe they become upset and they start fall asleep. Maybe they don't enjoy that anyway, because that was good maybe in, among Arab people. But though the word sentences, if you keep repeating, people think, what are you doing? You know, they will not like that. So this not sunnah is telling the story, but not exactly the same story. So that try to understand. So let me explain again. Sunnah only means that practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which he did to apply the Quran. Is it clear? Whatever he did to apply the Quran, that is the sunnah, the guidance. That's what you need to do. What he did as a human being or as an Arab, that is not sunnah. You know, that is some details which can differ. In your time, like in our time, maybe the best medical treatment is available there. You can go there. So you follow sunnah. What is sunnah? You get medical treatment. But not the same one, different. Because it's the same one you can never can follow. It's impossible. So this is one misunderstanding among the people really. That you can see in London, sometimes you find people walk in the streets with a turban. And they think, you know, they're doing jihad with wearing turban. No, you're basically making yourself alien. The Prophet never made himself alien to the people. When you come to Makkah, you never can differentiate the Prophet from Abu Jahl by dress. Abu Jahl and the Prophet had same cloth, same food, all same thing. There's no difference between Abu Jahl and the Prophet in the cloth. It is same people. Abu Lahab, same thing. The Prophet never actually made effort after Islam to make Islamic dress. There's no Islamic uniform. That never happened. He continued with the same cloth as even Jahiliyyah. Nothing changed. This is what people don't understand. The sunnah is to cover your body and a good decent cloth of your people. That's what Prophet, not necessarily Prophet's people. So this thing keep in mind. When we say sunnah means whatever the Prophet did to apply the Quran. Whatever is more than that, they are not sunnah. They are culture. Culture, as long as does not contradict the sunnah, is fine. If contradicts, their culture needs to be changed. Every people have a culture. You know, when Muslims came to Afghanistan, Afghan cloth became Islamic cloth. Because Afghani dress, you know, fulfills all the purpose. It covers the body. It also protects. It's a decent cloth. Fine. Indian people, their own. To wear like Western people, their own cloth. It is Islamic cloth. As long as it covers the body, fine. To think really that it must be kurta pajama like I'm doing, not right. Because this actually never has been done. It is Indian cloth. Indian people have developed. Nothing to do with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To think it is sunnah is not right. To think topi hat is sunnah is not right. Arabs actually don't even have word for that. In Arabic language, there is no single word for topi. Qalan Suwai, the word borrowed from some other language. They don't have their own word. It is such a rich language. If they have a dress, why not? They don't have a word? Because it's not their dress. It is from outside. They used to be imama. Some people say the Prophet used to wear imama all the time. That is a big misunderstanding. No, he did not wear. He only wear the imama when a delegation came, when he wants to make more effort to welcome people to, they can see him making effort. But generally in the prayers, at home, meeting the people, his own people, no imam at all. Hardly you can find imam anywhere. Some people all the time imam, and somebody in my mosque in Oxford, you know, shirt and trouser. They don't fit the imam. But he has in mind imam sunnah. He comes in the shirt and trouser, but with imam. Imam does not go with that. Imam can go with Arab cloth, but does not fit with trouser and shirt. But that's what, because mind is imam sunnah. He will maybe he get reward, because sometimes people have misunderstanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gave the reward because at least they're making effort. But ulama need to teach them. So this is another matter. Sometimes people do something because they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even they follow him in a small thing. Those things which are not sunnah, maybe they can get reward. But if they corrupt and they think it is sunnah and they teach everybody, then they will get sin. But somebody loves a sarid because the Prophet loved. Yeah, maybe he can get reward because he loves the Prophet. But if he start teaching that, then it will be a mistake, because then he corrupted the religion. He should not do that. So if you do individually, personally, something of those things which are not sunnah, you know, on your own, maybe you get reward. But if you start teaching that, there will be corruption. Not something actually what I say. If you read Bukhari and all this book, you can see it clearly. But you know, Imam Shatibi in his book, Al-Muwafaqat, he had mentioned these two points very clearly, two types of sunnah. And then more clearly done by Waliullah Dehlvi in his book, Hujjatullah al-Baligha, where he said, sunnah, he mentions Ulumun Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, the sciences of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, sunnah are two types, sunnatul huda and sunnatul aada, sunnah of the guidance and sunnah of the culture. Sunnah of the culture are, like, you know, he mentioned, like food, eating, drink, medical treatment. And now Ibn Qayyim comes, rahmahullah. I love Ibn Qayyim, don't think that, you know, everybody does mistake. I will do many mistakes. So Ibn Qayyim is a great man, but he certainly did mistake when he named the book At-Tibbun Nabawi. Oh, it is At-Tibbul Arabi. Arab people's medical treatment used to be nothing to do with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also followed his people. You can't make At-Tibbun Nabawi. It is At-Tibbul Arabi. Similarly, you know, food. It is not At-Ta'amun Nabawi. It is At-Ta'amun Arabi. Now Suyuti comes to Kaima. Suyuti, the way only is whatever people do in the past, write a new book, summarize it. So never find Suyuti doing anything new in this world. The way Imam Suyuti writes only, anybody can write 10 books every day. Just get a book, summarize it, make a new book. A few things here and there, it becomes nothing. Zarakshi comes, he writes a book, Al-Burhan fi Ulum al-Quran. Dear effort, 4 volumes. Then Suyuti comes, Al-Itqan, a new book. Just exactly word by word, sentence by sentence, say a few things here and there, you know, some change. It is just like that. See, anything people have done, Suyuti comes and makes a new thing on the basis of that. In Iraqi comes, he writes his high isnad to hadith. Suyuti comes, he writes his own Ashariyat to high. Just in bar, those same hadith, he just make his own isnad. All the time keep doing that. People think, oh no, see, two people wrote. Ibn Taymiyyah writes Al-Rad al-Muttaqiyyin. Suyuti comes and writes khulasa of that. That's all. Suyuti never made any new argument against Greek logic. Or Ibn Taymiyyah, the one, actually, the summary is not also so successful. In Taymiyyah, the arguments are much, much better, much more detailed, much more convincing. When you summarize it, it doesn't become the same thing. That's why people should read the original works. You can see it. When people read Suyuti, they think Suyuti is so great, but they don't understand it is based on something else. His Tadribur Ravi. You know, Tadribur Ravi, every single thing he said, it all made it coming from Muqaddam al-Salah, books of Khatib al-Baghdadi. Nothing there is research. He did not make any research really. He's just copying them. Word by word, ideas are same ideas by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. They have been copied there. So I never find Imam Suyuti. And then Imam Suyuti comes and he says, in every century they have been Mujaddid, and all Mujaddid are Shafi. None of them are Hanafi or Maliki or Hanbali. All Mujaddid are, because Suyuti is Shafi. And for the 10th century, in which he is, who is Mujaddid? I hope I am Mujaddid. He said about himself, I am Mujaddid of this century. Then maybe after him somebody else claims. So he said, but after this, it will be Mahdi. Like Shia people, these have been making all these imams. So two people, they said, the last imam, you know, Imam Ghaib, he was 4 years old, he disappeared. So we meet him. Then they realize really that maybe after their death, some other people claim that they meet them. So when they're 60 years old or 64 years old, both of them, they come to the community, they said, today we met the Imam Ghaib, and he said to us, this is the last meeting. After this, if anybody claims that he met Imam Ghaib, he's a liar. To finish. So now nobody can meet Imam Ghaib. So this is how the Imam Suyuti also met that. First thing really, the concept of Mujaddid itself is not Islamic anyway. Nothing to do with it. Waliullah Dehlvi again, actually, he makes very clearly this is weak. This concept is wrong. The concept in Islam is in every generation there will be people. Qarn. Qarn became Miyasana 100. And in Abu Dawud. And Abu Dawud's hadith actually has weakness. But I wrote actually an article on this matter, the hadith of Abu Dawud. This hadith, the word is Qarn. Qarn used to mean people of one generation. In every generation, there will be some people who will reform. That's actually true in every generation. But nothing to do with 100 years. Because people don't continue, generation don't continue to 100 years. And on the basis of that wrong idea, he made the list of Mujaddidin, and all from Shafi Madhab. Nobody is from any other Madhab. So anyway, so I'm trying to say, because some people get something wrong and then people start copying them without thinking. So there's nothing like that. There's no Tibbun Nabawi. There's no At-Ta'amun Nabawi in that sense. What At-Ta'amun Nabawi is halal. If you eat halal food, it is sunnah. That's right. whatever halal, if you eat that, that is sunnah. The Prophet used to eat halal food. People should eat halal food. He used to eat little, not to filling the stomach. If you do that, you eat your food halal, but don't fill your stomach. That is sunnah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So people don't understand. People think you have to do exactly the same thing, but in few things. You know, I'll give you an example. This really helped me to understand. My teacher, Maulana Shahbaz, Rahimullah, he was the director of a madrasa, big madrasa in India, Jamatul Falah. He was Nazim there. So he said trustees used to come and meet once a year. So once meeting was there, so I took some trustees to show them the hostels of the students, and the students were having breakfast. You know, their dastarkhan or table cloth, was dirty, not so good. They're eating there. Then after that, we, made arrangement for the breakfast for the trustees. To very nice, clean sheet, properly there and good food. The trustees who went to see with me, they said, no, lift it. Because I cannot bear the students eat on the dirty, cloak, and we eat on this so clean. We can't do this. So Maulana Shahbaz said, okay, then I will remove that and brought the same one, dirty one. When he started eating, I said to him, stop now. You saw the cloak dirty, you removed it. Did you see the food? The food that the students ate was not like that. There was different food. But this food, you eating something different from the students. That's what we do really. We follow the Prophet in very small thing. But in reality, what the Prophet came to teach, nobody follows him. So people think, if you do hijama, you follow the sunnah. But what Prophet used to do day and night really, nobody cares about that. People think, if you eat sarid, you follow sunnah. But he used to concern about halal and haram. That we don't have concern. So we have reduced the sunnah to those things which are very easy. Anybody can do. Anybody can do it. You don't need an intention. The real sunnah has disappeared. So anyway, so that's the first thing to keep in mind. When we say sunnah, we mean that practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or even saying which he did to apply the Quran. So the prayer, the fasting, the zakat, the hajj, halal and haram, in buying and in selling, all they are the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He taught them, he applied for that. Things which he did as a human being or as an Arab, they are not the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What Bukhari Muslim did, because the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in many ways can be helpful for the believers. Because sometimes you need to know the context of the Quran. So what they did, anything related to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they included in their book. Because it could be helpful and people need to know more about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So certainly those stories are helpful for us. The Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, many things we can learn from them. Prophet's life, early life, whatever details can come there, they can be some helpful, something can provide the context. But they're not sunnah. So the purpose of Bukhari Muslim is to provide to you a book, those details which have any connection with the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his life, anything. Not necessarily you need to follow them, but it can be helpful for you something. So certainly history is helpful. So basically Sahih Bukhari Muslim is like history of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which actually major part is sunnah anyway, but some parts are not sunnah, but still they belong to the history of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That what you need to learn. So when you study Sahih Bukhari Muslim, understand this thing. Because there are some hadith which are for a purpose, not as a sunnah. You don't need necessarily to follow that, but they can be helpful for you for something else. And that people can ask the ulama, the scholars. So this is one thing I wanted to tell you, the difference between sunnah and the hadith. Hadith simply means khabar. Actually, another word for hadith is khabar. Khabar means report. Hadith is report. Hadith is reporting the sunnah of the Prophet and whatever is related to the Prophet. That is hadith. That's why you say haddathana or akhbarana. So on reported. So hadith or khabar means history. History of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this history includes the sunnah and other than the sunnah as well. Once you understand this thing, then this idea that hadith must be sacred goes away from your mind. Unnecessarily, people made the hadith is sacred. Hadith is not sacred. People have to understand actually what is sunnah and what is other than sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And alhamdulillah, that thing has been preserved by this ummah very clearly. For the Sahaba, they did this, then Tabi'in did, and then people after that, they did. They preserved the knowledge both ways, in writing and also in memory. So Arabs used to memorize because their writing was very little among them. But later on, writing developed so much, then generally everybody started writing. So after 100 years, when people go to study hadith, generally they used to write. Actually, before coming to the class, they used to copy the book of the teacher and they used to read to him. So reading became very, very common actually from very, very early. People think that in all the hadith, the Sufyan Thawri or Malik or Sufyan Uyayna and all they narrate, it all from memory. It's not right really. They used to have their books and students, they used to copy from them. That's why there's so much agreement. But these books were not proper books. There are books like notes. The notebooks. I actually wrote an article, Al-Kitabu Kitabani. There are two types of the books. So some books people used to write as notes to teach. And some books used to be proper book with argument, you know, proper beginning and end and all those things. Even the books which are like notes, they're done by the ulama, big people. They're also organized. They're not organized, but they're not proper book, meaning they're not with that argument and that system. Like Muwatta. Muwatta is not a book in that sense. It's a book like notebook. That's why people who narrate Muwatta from Malik, they differ in the order, different. They do whatever they like, still Muwatta is Muwatta. Because you know the order not important in Muwatta. But books like Sibwais al-Kitab, or Imam Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, or Muslim, Sahih Muslim, they are proper book, written you know with that intention. They have order, they have tartib, you know, and it follows that if you take out things out of the context, it will have no meaning really. It really matters where Bukhari includes the hadith. A hadith which has got 10 information, and Bukhari only used for 5 information, and he missed other 5 information. It could be intentionally. He thinks in this hadith, other 5 information, they're not important. It could be actually, sometimes it is there. So people, this book is proper book. Like books written by Aristotle, they're notebooks. Aristotle never wrote a proper book. All his writings are just notes, like Malik Muwatta. So it was old fashioned, so nothing new really. All these people, they used to write for the students. If you study with them, so it will be helpful for you. If you're not studying, it will not be helpful. They are not writing really for everybody else to a comprehensive argument. This not what, but they are great people. So even when they write notes, they are very clear. They can be helpful. But that keep in mind. So in Islam, there have been many, many books of hadith. But when people think hadith books, they think like Bukhari Muslim. No. Books means they have been notebooks. People used to write for their students. The students can be, Imam Abu Hanifa, the books, you know, so many Kitab al-Athar and all those. Students wrote it like notebooks. They are not proper books. Proper books are very, very few. As I mentioned, in the grammar, you have Sibwais al-Kitab. You have got, you know, Imam Bukhari's book. Even Imam Shafi's books, they are not. Maybe al-Risala is proper book because there's proper argument and all those things. But Kitab al-Umm and all that, they are like notes. You know, they can, arrangement can change, order can change. It still will remain the same thing. So this is how it actually happened in Islam. Many, many writings came into existence. Bukhari and Muslim and books like that, they are not only hadith. They are hadith plus argument. Later on, people become lazy. They are thinking, now we have got all the sound hadith anyway. Argument is there. If anybody needs argument, they can go. We don't need to read all those again and again, you know, so much, you know, hustle, something like that. So people started, you know, collecting hadith just matn without the argument, without the isnad, without anything. That became start after 300 years Islam. People like Imam Baghawi, you know, he wrote Masabih and other people. So he started writing books which are in from these books, but without any argument, without any isnad, nothing. If you want to know, you can go there. Then what happens is these books can become important. Then argument is finished. Nobody knows the argument. Bukhari Muslim only are for barakah, like Quran. So people do sama very very quickly, and after a while they even don't know really what Bukhari's argument, what Muslim's argument finished. People don't understand. So this actually happened big loss anyway. So among the books which have been compiled together without argument, without isnad, without any proof, you know, among them are many books which you call Arba'unat, 40 hadith. Because somehow in some week hadith has come. If some people memorize, you know, or learn 40 hadiths, this will happen. None of them are sound anyway. All the weak, there is no need really for this number. I don't know why this number becomes so important in Islam. But so many, from very early, really, Muhammad ibn Aslam, Tusi, some people say Abdullah Mubarak, they are the first people who wrote 40 hadith. And then after that, many, many 40 hadiths people kept writing. So one of them is Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith, though actually he took from somewhere else, not all from him. And then in Rajab al-Hanbali comes, he adds some more, that they become 50 hadith. But in Nawawi actually is not 40, 43. So, you know, he added 42 hadith. Now we have done. So, that's what he did. So, he selected from these books, Bukhari, Muslim generally, and for Adam text as well, those hadith which actually are good teachings and people need in their life more often. So, this is a good thing. Something like that should be done, but they are for the common people. But ulama should learn something, a real thing. So for common people, certainly you need, because they don't need argument necessarily, so you can have to provide them. He wrote his book also, Riyadus Salihin, that's more complete one. But even the 40 hadith one, 42 hadith, they are also very good, and people should learn those. They're the real Islam. So these hadith, because people who wrote 40 hadith, there are many, many different intentions. Some people wrote on certain topics. Some people have more hadith techniques, you know, hadith, which have, you know, Makkan hadith or Madinan hadith or this is hadith. Or, so some people have like about jihad, about birrul walidain, about so many topics. Imam Nawawi, the Imam is, you know, selecting the usul of Islam, the fundamentals of the religion. So like that, this is a very, very important hadith, no doubt. And if people should follow them and make effort to act upon them, these hadith, you know, all of them, like, you know, hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, hadith of innamal amalu bin niyat, you know, intention, actions are with intention. They're very great hadith, really. You know, people learn them, memorize them, and teach them. Some of the hadith he has got from other sources. And some of these sources, they are good, but few of them actually are not right. Actually, in my book, when I bring tomorrow, inshallah, I have marked 7 hadith which are weak, too weak to make any argument. Some of them could be nearly like fabricated, basically. They're very, very weak, but 7, not more than 7. So those 7 should be understood properly, because there's a problem in that. Other than 7, rest of the hadith, they are sound, sahih, either they're Bukhari, Muslim, or they're not there, still they are sound hadith. When hadith is weak or munkar, people don't understand what they mean, really. They think it's still hadith. You know, it means mistake. So people make mistake as hadith. Mistakes are not hadith. So when muhaddithin say something shad and munkar, it is a name for hadith where people did a mistake. It's not hadith, not mistake. It's not fabricated, but they did mistake. They did misunderstanding. They somehow saying of someone became saying of the Prophet ﷺ. So they're not fabricating. They're not, you know, inventing hadith. By mistake, they make hadith. So these things have different names. One name is shad. One name is munkar. How they discover? By comparing. That's why it's called shad. Shad means when we compared, we found a more authentic one. This is a mistake of reliable people like Malik and Sufyan Thawri, they also can do mistake. Munkar means when mistake is done by weak people. So it has been low, really, and it goes against the fundamentals of the religion. So that keep in mind, really, that, you know, Shad and Munkar, these names, they don't mean they're hadith. They're not hadith.